This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go to the book of Philippians right quick, chapter 1. Ms. Kim, I want you to find verse number, believe it's going to be verse number 6. Philippians 1, let's start in verse 3, and we'll go down to verse number 6. Philippians 1, verse number 3, read it out loud with me. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I was sitting there and I was pondering, I was thinking, they were singing that song, the word thanks came to my mind. I had been processing this, I'd been thinking about this. That word thanks in verse number 3, I want you to look back at verse number 3 of this chapter. The word thanks. That word thanks, it is the Greek word eucharisto. The word eucharisto is a word, and it means to verbally make known your gratitude, to out loud express your thanks. The word eucharisto, it has the idea of opening up and letting out. It has the idea of what here comes from here, or comes out here. It has the idea of this spewing out to this. But if I were to take the word eucharisto, it is eucharisteo. In the middle of that word is the Greek word charis. The Greek word charis, it is the word for grace. The grace of God. The charis of God is what that means. What is grace? Grace is getting something you do not deserve. It is holding something that you did not earn. It is having something that you did not work to get. Charis is to possess something that you have no duty possessing. That word charis, it means to apprehend something that you never could have apprehended had somebody else not given it to you. So when you take the idea of charis and put it into eucharisto, it means this. It means that you verbalize that you do not deserve what you have. You are verbalizing and you are saying from your heart, God, I know that what I have, I do not deserve to have. I did not work to earn what you have given me. I did not work to have what the gift you have given to me, God. And by me verbalizing what I'm saying, I didn't feel this at 9:30, but I'm feeling juicy right about now. I'm verbalizing and I'm saying, God, I know that I did not earn what I have been given. And Lord, I say thank you, because I'm bowing my heart to say I didn't deserve it. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, God, I say I didn't deserve some things, and I just want to say thank you. We were at camp the other day, and I have arrived at the point in my life where I have the most noble position. I can go to camp and then sleep in a hotel. I have earned that right as in my time and duty in the ministry. I have smelt enough stank to last me a lifetime. I don't need to start smelling it again. My wife and I, we would get our hot shower and we would eat the continental breakfast. And if we were bored with the waffle maker, we would go to the Chick-fil-A that they had just recently opened above the street. Don't get jealous, youngins. Y'all have already been, and your time in purgatory is over. Somebody say amen right there. But my wife and I, we would pull in, and I would sit in the back because I would go in the back and pray. So I would come in. And I would see these kids, and I would see these leaders, and I would see a lot of this. I'd see a leader try to grab a youth group and take them to the altar, and I'd see a lot of this. And my wife, Erica, looked at me one time, and I don't remember what happened. She made a wise statement. She said, these people, some of these kids and some of these workers, have no clue how much somebody sacrificed for them to come. And I sat there and I looked and I thought, and the Holy Spirit said, don't be pointing fingers that way, son. When was the last time you just stopped to express mention of undeserved things in your life? I got three that I got brewing in my soul right now. Let me pop the top on this crock pot and see if I can't see what you see. And if you'll see what I see, then we'll be seeing something that God wants us to see. I just want to say thank you. Number one, I want to say thank you for my upward relationship. What did Paul say in verse number 3? He said, I thank my God. He said, I don't thank their God. I don't thank his God, but I thank my God. And for a moment, you've got to understand where Paul has come from. There used to be a day when Paul did not have that personal relationship with God Almighty. He thought of God as the one that dwelt on the other side of the curtain. He was the God that dwelt behind and above this mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. But something had happened to Paul on that Damascus road that made a transaction in his life. And he said, no longer is he their God. No longer is he the God behind the curtain, but I am now able to thank my God. I know this God. I have a relationship with this God. I talk to him in the morning. I talk to him in the cool of the day. I talk to him, and the best part of it all, he talks to me. I saw Joy Deadhead Behar the other day said about Mike Pence, and if you're a liberal, I'll sniff you out in about 3.2 seconds. I don't have time for liberal. Only thing I like, I've said it before, is a liberal giver. Say amen right there. I'm telling you, I have no time for liberals. And old Joy Deadhead Behar said this: if you watch The View, you may be associated with some of that deadhead mess. Anyway, I have no idea how I get caught off on that stuff, but it's like a magnet. It just pulls my soul at it. But anyways, she said this. She said, I understand whenever we talk to Jesus or people talk to Jesus. She said, but when Jesus starts talking back, that's not faith. That's a mental illness. And I have to think in the back of my mind. She was talking about the Vice President of the United States. And I've got to think in my mind, you know, is she right? Is she a mental illness? Is it a mental illness? And the more I think about it, the more I process it, I say, you know what? Maybe it is a mental illness. And maybe I am crazy. But I just feel like sometimes that God, he leads and he guides. And the more I get to thinking about it, the more I realize it is not a mental illness, but it is the result of a spiritual remedy that has been applied to my soul. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what I'm telling you. If the greatest thing that ever happened in old Tyler Curtis's life is you talk to me, or I talk to you, or I talk to Joy Behar, I talk to Donald Trump, Barack Obama, if I talk, that would be a wonderful thing or a great thing. But to know that I can talk to the mighty, almighty God of eternity, the one that walks and the one that talks and the one that breathes and shot stars up in their sockets and flung the sun up and blew it up in space and said, don't stop burning until I tell you to. And put that big ball of moon together and threw it up into the sky and said, don't you move right there. I want you to pull the tides back at this time and push them back in at this time. And as he told Pluto and Mars, he said, don't you move, but just keep a circling until I come back. The same God that gave angel wings, and the same God that made gold gold, and the same God that made silver silver, and the same God that made the roses red and the violets blue, and he made you honey, and I'm glad he did too. Say amen right there. I'm telling you, the God that made absolutely everything, I'm telling you, he's the God, but he's not just a God. He's not just some God. He's not just their God. He's not just their God. But I can say this morning, there's a transaction that's taking place in my soul, and he is my God. I know this God, and the best part of it, this God knows me. Lord, I spend a lot of time saying, give me one more time this morning. I just want to say thank you. Listen, you've never met somebody with as many ideas as I've got. I've got ideas of what your house should look like, and I ain't never even seen your house. I mean, I've got more ideas. The doctor had to stick me on medicine so I could turn it off at night. I didn't take it last night, by the way. That's why I didn't come to bed. Oh, yeah, I've got a lot of ideas. I've got a lot of things that go through my mind. I've got a lot of dreams. I've got a lot of visions. I want to see God do big things. I want to see God take us big places. I want to see God do wonderful things. But you mark this down. You write this down. If God never gave us another thing, if God never gave us another dream, if God never answered another prayer for us, just to know that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise, written in ruby red, royal, regal, redeeming red blood, you say, Tyler, is that enough? I say, that's more than enough for all of eternity. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising him, not for just the things he's given, but the thing he did in my soul. Soul salvation. You know, this morning, you look at me and I look at you, and you're trying to figure out what happened to that guy. And I'm telling you, you're barking up the wrong tree. Because the tree you need to be barking up is not what happened to that guy, but who happened to that guy. Because listen to me, I've met famous people and I've met not famous people. I've met rich people and I've met poor people, and none of them have ever done near a thing for me. But I met a man when I was 16 years old at the back of the Vandalia Baptist Church, five rows from the back side, right-hand side, on that left-hand seat, right about three from the outside. I met a lowly Nazarene with scars in his hands and scars in his side and scars on his head and scars on his back and scars in his feet. And he came to me in the person of the Holy Ghost, and he said, son, you know you need to be saved. You know you need to trust in Christ. And for these last 16 and some years, 16, one half years, 32, 33, 33, 32, 33, 16 and one half years, I've been trying to figure out what happened to me. I'm trying to figure out who I met. And I'm telling you, I'll spend all of eternity digging down to the bottom of the riches of the grace of God. He's wonderful, and he's lovely, and he's holy, and he's high, and he's exalted, and he's better than man. He's better than woman. He's better than child. He's better than dog. He's sure better than cats. He's better than everything that ever has been, better than anything that ever will be. Anna Grace said this to her grandma the other day. They saw a cat, and she said, Anna Grace, the preacher don't like that. Cats are of the devil. I say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that our children are being sown the seeds of truth. Here's what I'm saying. He's better than anything created, and he's better than angels, and he's better than the heavens, and he's better than the earth, and he's better than anything under the earth. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. He's higher than the highest, better than the best. Let me take it from Phil Cross and say he's the all-time champion, and he'll never be disputed. But Lord, I just want to say thank you that I get to know God, and God wants to know me. Number two, I've got my upward things. Number two, I've got my outward things. Look at what Paul said in verse number 3. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of, say it with me, you. Paul's prayer was consumed with what others had done for him. You know what I think Paul realized? That we in this generation are having a hard, this is not even a me generation. It's not even me anymore. We don't even know what we want. It goes deeper than I. It's something. But Paul realized one thing. It's what he realized. He could not accomplish what he accomplished without the people God placed in his life. So he bowed on his knee and he said, God, I want to thank you for the people you've put in my life. But he didn't just tell God. He wrote a letter and he put it here and he said, I want you all to know that I thank my God every time I think about you. Boy, I was up at camp and I saw those kids and I thought, I wonder if these kids understand that people took off of work with no pay. Do they even understand what that means? Do these kids, I sat back there and I thought, do these kids even understand that if they didn't have a leader, they couldn't come? We had a group that went with us, if I'm not mistaken, because they couldn't find anybody in their church that could go. Nobody could get off work as a small church, and they couldn't get off work. And if it hadn't been for Corey and Presley and Chad, they couldn't have gone. Have we even? And I sat back there, in that camping chair that I have that has padding on the back because I was not about to sit on them camp hard chairs. Remember what I said? I've arrived at a point in my life. Remember what I said? And I sat there and I thought, Holy Spirit, he nudged me. And he said, Have you thanked me for the people that I've put in your life? Because Tyler, you realize that without them, you couldn't be you. Kim, can we put the camera on the screen? Is that possible? I don't know if that's even possible. I want them to see what some of the stuff I'm going to do. I started walking through the church. Started walking through in my mind in the church. Church, have we ever thanked God that one man had enough faith to listen to the Holy Spirit to dial 336-451-5303 and say, Tyler, this is Bob McLaughlin. I want you to pray about coming over to Church Street. I rolled through some of the people in the church and I thought about these musicians. They come to choir practice. They come to services. They don't get paid, but they're here. I just want to say thank you. I thought about Scott. I don't know how many funerals me and Scott done together. We're doing another one Tuesday together. And I thought, you know, if I didn't have Scott, I couldn't do what I do. So I just want to say thank you. I thought about for 50 years a woman that was faithful. Thank you. I thought about our finance committee, our deacons. In our new member appointments, I always tell people, I always say, two things don't ask me. Number one, do not ask me what time you're supposed to be somewhere, because I have no idea. Number two, don't ask me what we bought or what we spent. I have no idea. I tell people, I preach, I pray, and I figure out which direction God wants us to go. And they handle all the details. So thank you. Thank you. Mary, tens of thousands of dollars every week. Not one penny ever mishandled. Thank you. Where's Heather? Somebody find her. She's probably typing up my thing for tonight. Somebody find Heather. Brother Vern, find Heather. Chad, I know you went without pay a few days this week. Thank you. Heather, I know it's difficult working for me. I know I have called at 2 and 3 a.m. to give you an idea to have done. But I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Thank you. I know there's been a lot of nights I hadn't come to bed because I've been wrestling with God. And I know that when I'm frustrated, you often bear the brunt of that frustration. And I know I preach way too much and am gone way too much. And I know I've missed a lot of soccer practices and soccer games. But you know, you've never complained. You know, you've never outspent when we didn't have any money. You never complained that when everybody else had the nice things, when we were first starting, I couldn't buy those for you. You acted like that Caitlin Spudo was a Kate Spade. Thank you. Go get my babies. I've never said thanks for those texts. When you just say you're praying for me. Dennis, I never thank you. Rarely respond to those times you text me and 5:30 in the morning and whisper those prayers to me. Thank you. I've never said to those of you that give and you don't sing and you don't preach, you just give and are faithful. Buddy was here at 9:30 service. I've never said thank you for all of that. Come here, honey. Hop up here. Hop up on the very top. Go to the very top. We first had Mason. If it hadn't been for my mother and grandmother and Erica's mama, there's no telling what he'd have wore. We couldn't afford it. We couldn't afford to pay for it. We came to the church. The deacons made a promise to us. Come here, boy. Made a promise to us. They said, you know, we can't pay you a lot right now, but if God will bless us, we'll take care of you. Hold brother's hand. Hold brother's hand. Okay? You know, you all have kept your word to us. Our kids get to wear nice clothes now. I eat out Chick-fil-A. We eat way too much. I joke about that, but you know, church, I don't know that I've ever said thank you. Thank you. Now, babies, I want y'all to look at me. Don't look at them, okay? Look at Daddy. You. Mason, I hadn't been at all your soccer games, buddy. I missed some of them, didn't I? But I had to go help the people, didn't I, buddy? You always waited up on me, though. And you always let me lay with you, and you always let me always play Monopoly. And honey bun, you're going to be a big girl one day. Y'all have been good babies so far. Look at Daddy. Look at me. I just want to say thank you for being good babies. And I love you. And I love you. See, when I look at these, I realize the reason I say thank you is because of this. Is I realize that just as the word said, these children are a piece of the grace of God. They are my charis. They are something that I did not deserve. You all are something that I did not deserve. The gift of God, salvation, the precious things of God. I said it a few weeks ago. The difference between a joyful person and a bitter person is the bitter person curses God for what he has taken and the joyful person thanks God for what he has given. That's the difference. Joseph, your daddy's not perfect. No, none of us are. We wish we could be. You know, your mama's not perfect. No mother is. But you got a good mom and daddy. They take you to church. They give you clothes. They give you food. When was the last time, youngins, you said thank you? Look, we can come up with any excuse in the world why we can't say thank you. Well, I came from a broken home. My mama did this. Look, I've walked that path. I've been on that bridge. I've been down that pathway. And I can tell you something. You can look on the left-hand side where the mud is, or you can concentrate where the flowers are. That's your decision. We got all these blessed excuses why we won't do. No. If we want to be mad at God, let's just man up or woman up and say, God, I'm mad at you for what you didn't do. what you did do. Let's stop with all these excuses as to why. And why don't we just say, Lord, no, I didn't have a perfect family. I didn't have a good dad. My dad wasn't even around. My mom wasn't even around. My kids. But Lord, you've kept me alive this long. Amen. You know, I got a mother here. Brother Scott, I'm done. Thank you. Thank you. I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. How many times have I said to you, Scott, what key are we in? And you know I have no idea what I'm talking about. You know, I got a mother in here. I don't talk about this much, but when I went to Bible college, I've said my grandmother helped pay that first year. We'd never had any preachers in our family. We didn't know what was right. We didn't know what was wrong. We didn't know how to act. We're still pretty close to that. Still pretty close. You know what my mother did? I never told anybody this. I never told Erica this. We didn't have a lot. We were going through a whole lot at that time. But my mother gave me a copy of her debit card. Said, just put gas in your tank so you can get back. I was driving 50 miles one way. Gas was $4.25 a gallon. 50 miles one way. Every day for 4 years. I didn't have a job. I didn't. You remember, God called me to preach on a Thursday, on a Tuesday, and I started school on the next Monday. There was no plans. But you know, my mother gave me that card. It was just me and her. It's all we had. I don't know that I've ever said it, but thank you. Man, when was the last time you told your husband thank you? When was the last time we got on our knees before a holy God and said, God, I just want to say thank you. Lord, when's the last time you thanked the piano player? When's the last time you thanked the choir? Sorry, babies. Y'all go back down there and sit with Mama. I done forgot about you. They're obedient, though. I told them to stand there, and they stood there. I've got good friends. He's probably my best friend in the whole world. Morning would be a good morning to bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, save my soul. And then when he does, first words out of your mouth need to be, thank you. Some of you ought to take a hand, a grandma. Listen, life is way too short to be bitter. Life is way too short to worry about all the things you don't have. Life is way too short. We're doing the funeral this week. Mike, how old was Terry? 54 years old. We're doing the funeral here Tuesday. Brother Terry Moody passed away with cancer. He's a preacher in our area. 54. I talked to his son yesterday. His poor son was just like in a fog. Just talked in circles. It's a fog. Life is way too short to be bitter at people because you feel like you were wronged in a situation.